Every decision that you make has consequences. Are you making yourself better? Or are you making yourself worse? Are you moving forward or are you moving back? Are you making progress or are you stagnating? Every little decision you make counts.
Most people go through life avoiding pain. And when you go through life like that, something in you dies. Something in you that you never activate is lying dormant in there, that you never get a chance to call on because you have not challenged yourself.
Because so many times people have a tendency to devalue the moment, today. What they do is they greatly value the destination. And so they kind of talk about, well, when I get there, or if I arrive there, or when I do that, or when I accomplish this. And they don't understand that success is a daily thing. And I'm here to share with you that the secret of success is determined by your daily agenda.
You need to consistently, every day, persistently, without quit, enjoy that pursuit. Why consistency? I think consistency is the most important thing. Because consistency elevates your awareness. What's the lesson? Don't limit your point of entry. Consistently, persistently pursue your potential and enjoy it. That's all I did.
Trust me, you have a mindset right now, just like I have a mindset. It's how we view life. I know people with a negative mindset, which basically they view everything in a negative way. I know people with a positive mindset, which means they view everything in a positive way. People with an abundance mindset, a scarcity mindset. It's a way of thinking. The question is, how did we get there? How did we get that mindset? Through practice and habits. You see, the things I do today determines the habits I have tomorrow, which determines the mindset that I have for life. So go back to what you do daily and ask yourself, what kind of a mindset am I developing today?
A new discipline immediately alters your life direction. You don't change destinations immediately. That is yet to come. But you can change direction immediately. And direction is very important. Discipline cooperates with nature. Everything strives. It is a common life function. How tall will a tree grow? As tall as it can. Everything strives to become all it can possibly be. And that striving to become is what discipline is all about.
You are the leader of your life. Choose the hard path. The path of responsibility, hard work, and sacrifice. The path of discipline, humility, and ownership that ultimately leads to freedom. Make discipline part of your daily life, and your daily life will get better.
Disciplining ourselves to fulfill our natural potential to become all that we can be. And finally, discipline attracts opportunity. Opportunity is always looking for ambition and skill in action. Discipline taps the unlimited power of commitment. The human will in action, driven by inspiration, enticed by desire, tempered by reason, guided by intelligence, can bring you to that high and lofty place called the good life.
Now you know the master key to riches is self-discipline. And what we have found is that the most successful people have come to that conclusion as well, is that self-discipline is the master key to success. So for you to write down your goals and make a plan and set priorities and start with your most important task takes tremendous self-discipline. If you haven't done it up to now, it's so hard. But Goethe said, everything is hard before it's easy. And everything at the beginning is difficult, but later it becomes easy and automatic. You have to force yourself to discipline yourself at the beginning, but after that, it becomes easier and easier, and you actually feel happy. Now, here's the most wonderful thing. When you discipline yourself to start and complete a task or a part of a task, you feel like an athlete. So here's my question. If an athlete runs in a race and comes in first, what do they call this person? The winner. Exactly. I've studied this hundreds, thousands of hours. What it says is that when you win, when you come in as the winner, your body releases endorphins, which are called nature's happy drug. They make you happy. And dopamine, which is a form of energy that you get from a positive experience. So when you complete a task, your body releases these drugs and you feel happy. So they call it nature, the psychologists call it nature's happy drug. If you want to be happy, just start and complete a task. And you get a zip. Wow. You feel happy. So I organize my life. So I organize my tasks. And then my wife, Barbara, will come in and say, I'm going to have dinner in 10 minutes. So I say, okay, 10 minutes. Let's see, what have I got here that will take 10 minutes? I can do this in 10 minutes. So I'll always end my day with a completed task. This is a real simple thing, and I've done it. I tick it off, complete, down, and I'm happy. And I walk out, and I'm smiling. When you make a person feel like a winner, you feel happy. When you discipline yourself to complete a task, you give yourself a buzz. Alfred Adler, one of the top psychologists of history, called this a positive addiction. He said, if you start and complete a task, you get a buzz. And the buzz becomes addictive. You start thinking, no, I want that buzz again. But the buzz is a positive addiction in that it makes you happy when you do it. So every time you start and complete a task, you feel like a winner. And when you feel like a winner, you want to do it again and have that winning feeling. If you want to raise happy, healthy, self-confident children, one of my programs, 21 Great Ways to Raise Happy, Healthy, Self-Confident Children, one of my 21s, is what you do is you make your children feel like winners all the time. If you're happily married, make sure that your spouse feels like a winner all the time. How do they feel like a winner? Is when you praise them or compliment them, thank them for what they did, acknowledge their success, whatever it happens to be, make them feel like a winner. Because every single time you start and complete something, and it's acknowledged, the person feels like a winner. You know that the greatest speed records, Olympic records, are always broken in front of the biggest crowds. Interesting point. The biggest crowds. You get 10,000 people, you get a record. You get 50,000 people, wow. 100,000 people, they break all the world records. Because the greater the amount of praise and that you get from winning a race or potential winning a race, the faster people run.
When I was in high school, I must have been maybe 16 or 17 years old. And I went rock climbing in El Dorado Canyon, near where I grew up in Boulder. I'd been climbing about 3 or 4 years, and I went to do a climb called T2. Now, at the time, T2 was a relatively difficult climb. And I went at it with a kind of an arrogant lack of preparation. And I hadn't prepared for being able to do certain kinds of finger cracks. I'll figure it out when I get there. And I also didn't pause, and this is that thing about boldness and discipline, I didn't pause to really double check all my systems. Okay, so I'm on the fourth pitch. I'm about 400 feet above the ground. I'm going across this slanting crack system that I started to have trouble with. My forearms started to engorge with blood and lactic acid, which means at some point, even if you're on a big hold, your hands are gonna melt off, okay? And I'm about to fall. I'm 400 feet above the ground. But it should be okay because there's protection. I'm tied into the rope. I may take a fall, but I'll get caught. For some reason, and to this day, I still don't know why, my brain triggered that I should look at my knot. And I looked down at my knot. My knot had come untied. I had made the mistake of never really thinking about the best knot for certain types of situations, and I tied him with what's a bowline. Now, the advantage of a bowline is it's easy to untie, right? The disadvantage of a bowline is it's easy to untie. It had come untied as I kept moving across. And it is just hanging in my harness. I'm seconds away from falling. Only now I will die. I will die if I fall off. My forearms are melting. And the knot had come untied. And so I called down to my partner. I said, my knot came untied. What is he going to do? He can't do anything. He'll just watch me fall to my death. And there was an old fixed piton in the rock that we put there from the first descent, an old soft iron piton. And I looked at it, and I probably had 15, 20 seconds before my hands would unwrap, if that, maybe 10. I took a runner, and I clipped it into the piton. I clipped the piton into my that runner into my harness, and just went, please hold. And I let go. And it held. I put in a backup. I grabbed the knot, retied it, went to the ledge. It didn't convulse into, I was very calm at that moment. When I got to the ledge, I went into convulsive shaking. I was sick to my stomach for days because of the whatever happens chemically. What I learned from that is two things. The first is that when you're in an unforgiving world, when gravity is unforgiving, it doesn't care. It never takes a day off, ever. And if you make one mistake, it can kill you if it's the wrong kind of mistake. And what I learned is that sense of, yeah, I want to do adventurous things. I want to climb rocks. I want to be in Yosemite. I want to do things that get my adrenaline going. But I need the discipline to always do all the right preparation, to always think about the right knots, to always be cross-checking my system so that I can do those bold things and stay alive in an unforgiving environment. And as you and I spoke about earlier today, I think we're all heading into an unforgiving environment where we're going to have to be both bold and disciplined. The second thing I learned, what if that piton had not been there? We might not be here together. It was just by chance that piton was right there. And what you realize when you rewind the tape of your own life is that there are these crucial moments where if the luck had gone the other way, you might have gotten killed. And so what you have to do is to always be putting those extra disciplines in place, because I was lucky to live. And what I took from that is, I never want to have to be lucky to live again. I want to live because of my discipline, not because of my luck.